is Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.
Hi there. Welcome to my show, Transistor, where I talk about trans folk, because I know you're interested and you want to hear. So listen, learn, and maybe laugh. Trans journey. My toys. The toys I was allowed to have. The toys I wanted. The toys I made. I had lots of different things going on when I was a kid. I wasn't exactly sure which way I was going and which kind of toys that I wanted to have. I certainly knew that I wasn't allowed to have, you know, girly toys, i.e. dolls and do dress up and do all the different things. So, and when my parents figured out that I didn't like, you know, trucks, cars, all those other different things, because generally my cars and trucks were in car accidents all the time where I would smash them against walls or do different things like that. I wanted a little doggy with a ball on its tail. And when you twisted the little key underneath its belly, it would do that particular dance and spin around, and this ball would spin around too. Well, that was just a little too girly. I was given Lego. Wow. That really opened up my eyes. I mean, it was such a great toy for me to get creative with, and I was making all kinds of different things, letting my imagination soar. I was making planes, trains, automobiles, that kind of idea, building beautiful houses, places where I want to live, making people out of it, making animals and stuff like that, and even just playing with the different colors and seeing what kind of shapes I could come up with. I loved Lego. One day I made the mistake of putting a piece in my mouth and chewing on it, and then it turned into the best chew toy for me. So a lot of my Lego ended up with teeth marks all over it. I don't know why. That was one of those crazy things that I always did. But I was very much, a loner when I was a kid too. So there I was doing different things with myself in regards to learning how to ride a bicycle. Riding a bicycle for me wasn't very easy because I was terrified of the bicycle, probably because when I ended up on my friend's bicycle when I was very young, I think I was about 4 years of age anyway, and he had these huge training wheels on it, I didn't know how to brake the bike, and there I was on a hill, on the sidewalk, going down the hill faster and faster, and suddenly I ended up out in the middle of the road, hitting a car head on. And yes, there I was, going over the hood of the car onto the windshield of this car. Wow, did that ever scare the living shit out of me. So when it came time to learning how to ride a bicycle, I wasn't the most adept at learning how to do that right off the bat. And so it took me quite a while before I was actually riding a bicycle. My brother and sisters, no problem. But it probably went back to my fear of that whole aspect and things like that happening, because, you know, it was pretty traumatic going over the hood of that car and thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die, and that was something. But yeah, so after my bicycle, I transitioned into using roller skates when I was a kid. And that was one of those things where I could put them on. And they weren't the kind that were actually booty roller skates. They were the ones that you could adjust the size and length of them. And I bought these lovely things in Denmark. And I put them on the bottom of my running shoes. And they had nice rubber wheels. And they were really cool. And they were really fast. And they would go over bumps like there was no tomorrow. Not like the metal ones that we get here in North America, or did get here in North America. And I'm going back a few years, yes. Those ones were so hard to roller skate around, but I loved my rubber roller skates, and I would go out and spend hours going around the block, around and around and around the block, just skating by myself, being in my own little world. And that's kind of what you did, or kind of what I did as a kid who didn't really have very many friends, because I was sort of different and treated differently and had different ideas about different things that I wanted to play with. Another thing that, you know, I really loved that I could actually play with the other kids with was the toboggan. We had this huge toboggan that could seat 8 people, and we called it the Red Rocket, and that thing was so super fast. And one of the things that I used to do was when we would go tobogganing, I would drag that damn thing on the road. And of course, it was full of salt and rock and everything else on the road too. And it would scrape the shit out of the bottom of that toboggan, but it would go so bloody fast. And we would always go over the bumps, and there would be 8 kids sitting on this 8-foot toboggan with our legs interlaced amongst each other. And it was so bloody cool. I remember one year, though, we were going so bloody fast that we went down the run, which was an old golf course, all across the bottom straightaway plain, down another little mini hill, and up this embankment and up onto the road. Maybe say something about with me, roads and cars with me. I don't know what it was. But on that trip there, there was another guy who lived down the street from us who was with us tobogganing. He tore his ligaments. So, yeah, we had some pretty interesting, traumatic things as a kid. But, you know, I stuck to myself. Played with my toys, ones I did have. Translation. Tits. Yes, we use that word tits. Everybody uses the word tits, and that's what I'm going to talk about is tits, boobies, breasts, whatever. You know, the art of the translation, the art of the pass, all that sort of idea. One of those things that is very key in defining who a person is, especially in particular when it comes to gender, women place importance on their breasts. As much as they don't admit it, they do. And it's very key for them when their breasts are gone and they're lost due to cancer or some other sort of medical illness or something, whatever has taken place. And it really defines, I believe, and for those that I know, themselves as women. And, you know, it's much the same idea like men when it comes to their crotch and their cocks and balls and all those other different things and what they're packing in their pants and their package and what's protruding and what's not protruding. But for those who are sort of, you know, doing the art of the pass and trying to get it together and figure out what's going on, they, you know, you don't have anything. And if you're a little bit overweight, well, you generally got a little bit more and you can work with that. But for those who don't, they are generally using something like duct tape. You know, a little secrets be known. Even the drag queens are using duct tape. They'll take it from one side, wrap it around across the front of the chest and down around the other side. So that actually pulls the breasts in together to make it look like you've actually got some kind of mass going on there. And not necessarily the most fun thing to do when it comes time to taking that duct tape off, especially if it's stuck to some hair and you're going to give yourself a little bit of a wax job. You know, we always think of the 40-year-old version with that virgin, that guy having his chest hair ripped off. Not too fun. But I would suggest shaving your chest first if that's what you're going to be doing. And then make sure you get a nice wide strap, because anything like electrical tape, which is about a half an inch wide, isn't going to do the job. It's just not going to cut it. And electrical tape, well, it generally comes off, especially when the body is a little bit sweaty and doing all these different things and the oils and the natural secretions coming off, it comes off as well. And it's just not strong enough. So stick with the duct tape or something like that. But also, that's not to say you may not be or you could be allergic to the adhesive on it. I know I'm allergic to it. And even when I've had surgeries done and I get the 3M tape that they put on, the adhesive tape, the medical surgical tape, I'm seriously allergic to that stuff. And it causes me to break out in painful rashes with red bumps and things like that. So generally what they're doing is they're leaving me open free, so I don't have any sort of surgical adhesive tape put on, even any kind of tape. I can't really take it because I break up in a rash, you know. And so, and if you're doing the shading, things like that, there's the chest to consider getting rid of that so you can do proper shading with makeup. And when you're doing that, what most of them are doing to give themselves the illusion of larger breasts or any breasts at all is they'll put the shading between so it makes it look like they've got more protrusion going on. And it's generally done in sort of like a half sort of moon shape circle up to the one side, to the right side, and then up to the left on the left side. And that really helps accentuate a larger breast. And especially for those who are a little bit chubby and already have natural boobies, you can, you know, put those babies in a bra and get them sticking up there and things like that. But then I'm talking about a bra, right? And a bra has a push-up in there, and they also contain cookies. Cookies, for those who don't know, any woman will know this anyway, is the little filler parts that are in a bra. And they're generally put in a little sleeve, sort of like where you can put it, insert it, and it will actually push your breast up into the push-up. So it actually gives it more. And for those who don't actually have breasts, they'll use that and they'll try to pull their flesh up into the bra by pulling it, stretching their skin from their belly upwards into it to make it look like they got tits. And then, of course, there's falsies. Falsies, you don't want to be caught without those if you're actually going to be trying to get out there and pass. And I had a work partner who was very much into wearing falsies and doing a shampoo over the shampoo basin, and one of those babies just happened to fall out of that bra and smack that client in the face. It was kind of funny. At least I thought it was funny. She didn't think it was too funny. She was mortified and so seriously embarrassed, but I didn't care. I just laughed it all off because, you know, she was like, oh, I'm so well put together. Nope. Anyway, these things are not cheap, just to let you know. Yeah, you can get them from anywhere from $20 up to $800, $1,000, $1,200. And if you're going to places like the Breastform Shop, which is here in Vancouver, they have them there. And how they started out was by providing women who had actually had a mastectomy or any breast remove or both or whatever, filling the bra to make a woman feel whole again. And then they ended up with a sideline business where all the crossdressers started coming to them and buying these falsies, these boobs. And believe me, I've seen a lot of these things, and they can either be the ones that sit inside a bra in their own sleeve, their own container. And they do come in, it's interesting I mentioned containers, is that they come in a, how should I say, like a jello mold. So when you get them mailed to you, they're in a jello mold to maintain their shaping and to maintain their look and size and everything else, so they don't turn into a stretched out piece of, well, jello mass or whatever it is. But and they're generally made out of, the cheaper ones are foam, the more expensive ones are silicone inside a nice silicone sleeve. And they can be anywhere from an A cup up to a double D to be really huge. And there's, like I said before, they'll sit in their own little sleeve inside the bra. You can even tape them to yourselves. You can wear them under t-shirts so that they can sit there so the t-shirt will keep it on there. And they even have new ones on the market now that are actually so lifelike, you would never know, with a fine, micro-fine layer of latex that actually blends into your skin. Of course, you have to make sure that they're color-coded. But tits, there's more to them, just a handful. Transitions. Cosmetic procedures. A little more to it. Adam's apple. Yes, men have them, women have them, but they might not be as big or protruding as most men have. And most people that are trans, or if they do have something like that, will generally opt for a shaving of the Adam's apple. Yes, shaving, because it is a bone. It's a bone on the front of the neck. And anybody who's seen it on a man will notice that. And it generally points out about the size of a quarter in diameter, but it sticks out from the skin anywhere from a half an inch to an inch, depending on the size of it, looking like a large point, a bump kind of thing like that. And what they do with that is the surgeons will actually find a fold in your neck. And when they go in, they take that fold, they cut into that fold. So when it actually heals up, it just looks like the fold again. So the actual incision is sort of camouflaged within that sort of fold, that skin fold. And they will literally take a planer. And yes, a planer, the same that you would use for wood to shave things off. You know, if you're using an outdoor jam, for example, to make the door fit, you probably plane off the sides of the door and you get little curls of wood coming off it as well. The same thing happens when it comes to shaving down the Adam's apple. It's planing it down to a level that is satisfactory with the doctor to make it look like it's not there anymore. It still will be there. It just won't be so bumpy. It won't be sticking out so much. And it is not the kind of surgery that you think is going to be pain-free. It is seriously painful. Myself, I've never had that done, but I do know individuals who've had it done because I'm fortunate that I don't have that. But yes, I've had other things done, and we'll talk about those on later shows. But it hurts, and generally it screws with their ability to speak a little bit, so most of them are not going to be talking for quite some time. And, well, think about it. You're taking a bone and you're shaving it down and you're letting that heal over again, because sometimes it's shaved down so much that it actually shaves into the core of the bone. So it's not a pleasant experience for most of these individuals. And that is not to say that when I talked about the speaking aspect of it, they're not talking because it moves up and down. The Adam's apple bobs up and down a little bit. And by moving it that way, it becomes painful. It's not associated with the voice box or anything to do with the vocal cords or anything like that. It's a separate entity on its own. But it's just one of those masculine appearances on the neck that gets a little treatment through being shaved. Transformations. positions is actually what I'm going to talk about. I thought I'd get your attention. So, everybody likes sex, don't they? So, once again here at Transformers, I'm going to talk to you about a lovely little guy that comes from the makers at Tantus. And it's called the Little Secret. And what it is a silicone molded device that sits over top of a bullet. And inside you put a 1.5 volt battery. And it's got a very, very strong motor. And being that it's from Tantus, Tantus are very, very prolific in the use of silicone, medical grade silicone that they've actually solidified into a lot of their devices that they're marketing to people. And they have things that are for anal use, for vaginal use, for strap-on use, all kinds of different things, vibrational use. And these guys, the Little Secrets here, they are small. They're basically, well, let me see here. It's 3 inches long and about the diameter of your finger. Very quiet motor, very strong motor running on that 1.5 volt battery. So, of course, you guess what? You can take it with you traveling. People aren't going to know what you've got in there, and it's going to be concealed very easily. And if you're concerned about the noise, it's not noisy at all because it is super quiet. And they have these guys in 5 different shapes. There's a pointy one. There's one that's actually a mushroom head on it. Fun colors as well. And the mushroom head one I really like because it's designed to get in there and get into the G-spot as well as stimulate externally as well. And people who are very serious about their sex know exactly what they want. So if they want G-spot stimulation, they're going to get the device for G-spot stimulation. If they want clitoral or external stimulation, they're going to get the one that's going to go right to the meat and potatoes. That's what they're going to do. But these guys come in lovely, fun colors as well. They're bright, they're vivid, orange, pink, blue, green, yellow. I would suggest that you get out there and have a look at them. And being that they're silicone, you are not going to use these guys with a silicone lubricant because there we go again, as I mentioned before in a previous show, silicone lubrication does not work good with a silicone toy for the simple reason being that the molecules have a reaction and they cause them to vibrate and liquefy. Transmissions. News from around the world. Some good, some not so good. Some plain funny, some interesting. So, let's talk about the first one up here that I've got across my page. A Chinese 84-year-old comes out as transgender. Now, I've seen the picture of this lovely individual here, and she looks pretty damn good for an 84-year-old, but certainly looks like she is ready to live life to the fullest, even at this time. So Qian Jinfan began to live as a woman at age 80, after a lifetime of secrecy. Qian Jinfan, an 84-year-old retired government official in China's southern province of Guangdong, came out as transgender last month. In an interview with Southern Metropolis Daily, Qian said she started to live as a woman 4 years ago at the age of 80, making her the oldest openly transgender person in China. Born in an intellectual family, Qian realized she wanted to be a girl at the age of 3 when a neighbor referred to her as a girl. By the time she reached adolescence, Qian started to show some feminine features in her behavior, but only in private. It remained a secret for her parents throughout her entire life. Nor did Qian's wife have any clue when they married 30 years ago. Qian's first attempt to become a woman physically was in the 1960s. Then between the age of 60 and 70, she tried a few different ways to gain female physical features and characteristics as applying breast enhancement cream. Wow. It was only in 2006 that she first met a transgender person, a girl in her 20s, and in 2008, the year she turned 80, Qian decided to live openly as a woman. She gave herself a female name, Yi Ling, and embarked on a new life. A year later, Qian contacted Foshan Administration of Culture, Radio, Television, News, and Publication, where she once worked and which still controls a great portion of her retirement benefit, to announce her gender change. To her surprise, although some of her colleagues did stop talking to her, big surprise there, the authority quietly accepted her and Qian was able to keep receiving her pension. Today, she uses female bathroom and writes male to female in transition when filling out her gender in official documents. Qian's story attracted widespread media attention in China, including an interview with China Daily, in which she speaks about some of the difficulties after coming out in the media. Her family, including her wife, with whom she still lives, allowed her to undertake the surgery, but are not happy with their private life being exposed in the media. "I don't seek media attention myself," explains Qian, "but I don't turn down interviews. In my opinion, you only avoid if you feel guilty. I did nothing wrong, so why should I be evasive? I'm standing up against social discrimination and prejudice against transgender people. This is important. My family are not yet aware of its significance, but they will, given some time." Qian's effort might already be changing opinions about transgender people. The China Daily uses a gender-neutral pronoun referring to her rather than he, as transgender women are usually referred to by the Chinese media. Wow, that's pretty cool. Trans movie in surprise is a surprise hit in Bangladesh. Bangladesh's first transgender film has taken the South Asian country by storm. A film about a love affair between a transgender woman and a Hindu boy has become a surprise hit in Bangladesh, earning it a general release. Common Gender, the first Bangladeshi film featuring dealing with transgender people, has become an overnight success after opening in just 6 cinemas in capital city Dhaka 2 weeks ago. "We opted to release the movie with only 6 cinemas in the first week as it lacked big stars, but some labeled it an art house movie," said Emmanuel Karim, the film's distributor. "But it's a resounding success so far. It's pulling in crowds and other cinemas are taking it up." In the movie, Sushmitna, a transgender woman known as Hirja in Bangladesh, falls in love with a Hindu boy, but the boy's parents refuse to accept Sushmita, eventually leading her to suicide. Oh, that's sad. The film's director, Norman Robbins, said he made the film after he saw a transgender person being attacked for using a female toilet in a shopping mall. "The film aids to bring awareness to the troubles faced by transgender people who remain the most marginalized people in the traditionally conservative South Asia. It was reported that over 1,000 transgender, asexual, and eunuch people rallied in Dhaka for a government-sponsored demonstration to raise awareness for their rights. And the film's creators have announced an Indian producer is in talks to buy the film's rights." Pretty great. So yeah, so you see, even just using a simple washroom can lead to violence and things like that. Which, you know, brings up other issues that we're going to talk about in future in regards to washroom use. Gender identity law reform proposed in Canberra. Proposals draw mixed response from transgender and intersex groups. A report published on Monday proposes changes to the law affecting gender identity in the Australian Capital Territory Act. The recommendations include a transgender person should not have to go through sex reassignment surgery to change their official gender. Intersex should be an option on birth certificates. The current 60 days required to register the sex of a child should be extended to 180 days. I like that, and I'll tell you why in a second. All public sector authorities should also allow the options female, male, intersex, and none of the above when required to determine someone's sex. The proposals also said that the government should invest in programs of education about sex and gender diversity for the public sector. Peter Hindall from Sex and Gender Diverse Support Group A Gender Agenda told Canberra Times, "It's been a really, really long time since the issue was flogged, and it would be nice to see the government move quickly. The surgical requirement as it stands is clearly a complete contravention of the human rights of sex and gender diverse people in the Act." However, the proposals relating to intersex people were not so well received by the community. The organization Intersex International Australia, OLL Australia, released a statement saying that they are opposed to the proposal that the intersex option be available on birth certificates. The statement reads, "OLL Australia rejects the notion of a third sex, and we vehemently oppose the creation of any category called intersex to which we are automatically assigned. We have no idea how education and other services will deal with this, and we have no desire for intersex infants to be guinea pigs." The statement continues that OLLs believe that there should be just one option for classifying gender, not two or three. "Where this remains not possible," the statement reads, "we propose that it is sufficient for infants at birth to be assigned as not specified. This category should also be available on request to any adult who chooses it. Australia's first openly intersex mayor and representative of Androgen Insensitivity Syndrome Support Group Australia, AISSGA, Tony Britha, agrees that the term intersex should not be put on children's birth certificates, but he doesn't have a problem with the intersex category, provided it's only used for adults who request it and can prove they are intersex." Now, the reason I am kind of liking that in regards to the 60 days to 180 days is a study was performed in Copenhagen in Denmark, and what they were finding was that young boys were actually being born with genitalia that was undefinable. And what that means is they were looking like they had, well, a clitoris and a vagina, and later on in life, when the hormones started to kick in, they actually, the testes dropped and the penis protruded. So that was one of the things that parents were having a real issue with in Denmark, and they were basically saying that they need to extend this to actually have full development of that child before anything takes place. Transcription. Letters from listeners. I've got one today from a North Vancouver teenager here in BC, and she is wondering if breast augmentation is possible for a person under 16 and recommended. Well, I can tell you, for someone who's actually had breast augmentation myself and have a significant amount of natural breast mass myself as well in there, I don't recommend it, and I would not suggest that you do it under the age of 16 until you have at least had 2 years of hormone use, of estrogen use, if you're going to go that route, because you don't know exactly what kind of mass you're going to develop on your own with your own breast augmentation of the breast tissue there through the use of hormones. Now, the doctor that I actually went to myself, Dr. Nicholas Carr here in Vancouver, we talked about that as well, and he had agreed because he had actually seen an individual before that had gone with their mother, and the mother was so, I really love this woman, I actually got to meet her as well, and she was so understanding of her daughter and wanted to, you know, get the clarification from the doctor, and the doctor also had said too, because I talked to him about this, saying that he also agreed that there should be some significant time for hormone development to permeate through the body and see exactly what kind of breast development does take place on its own naturally. And then wait and see when, you know, what you're going to get and how big you're going to get, and then go from there. And also too, I think the age factor is also really important to say or include in there too, because when people are going through puberty, their mind is still developing, their thought patterns are still developing, and I truly believe that you may know from a young age and you want to do different things at a young age, but hormones, when you're going through puberty, can make you think differently, act differently, be different. So you may want to just sort of adjust with that first. But hey, it's all up to you. If you've got parents that are cool with it and you've got a doctor that's cool with it and wants to do it, then by all means, go ahead and do it. But if you're asking me, I would wait. I think you're going to have a really good life ahead of you and see what's going on and at least give it a year or two.
This episode of Transistor was brought to you by the Episcopal Church.
Listening to Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel. Send us your comments and suggestions by clicking on the voicemail tab located on OutLoudShows.com or use the form located on the show page. This has been a production of OutLoudShows.com. Quality sounds for your brain.
Always wonder what it's like to be with me or be my friend or be my boyfriend or be my girlfriend. And guess what? You're going to be able to do that and hear that on August the 4th when you get to listen into my significant other, Stuart. And he's going to tell you what life with Velvet's really like. So I hope you tune in and enjoy.